Hello and welcome to the Stash My Comics Chase Variant Podcast Episode 3. I am Chance, and to start out the night, I have with me Nico Kaler.
Hi.
Michael Meteor, is that how you say your name?
Yeah, it's Meteor, but it's all good.
Meteor, alright. And Jason Newcomb.
Michael Meteor does sound kind of like a goofy superhero.
I wish I could be a goofy superhero or a superhero at all. So,
hey, well, that's what we're going with then. Goofy superhero that's on a podcast works. All right, so to start out the night, we are going to discuss our favorite comic books of this week. Nico, would you like to start off?
Sure. This week, my favorite comic book was Damage Control number 1. It was a miniseries about who takes care of the disasters that the Marvel Universe superheroes make. It was written by Dwayne McDuffie, and it was a very good story. It was very enjoyable, and it was drawn by Ernie Colon. It basically is how an introduction of how the damage control takes care of the messes that the superheroes make. Yeah, Damage Control is a company. His name is Mr. Porter. I forget his first name. I'm gonna call him Mr. Porter. This issue marks his first day on the job, and he has to take care of the Avengers and Spider-Man mess. It's a mini series, but it feels like more like a one-off issue. The whole series is like a one-off issue.
So is he more like a PR type guy just trying to clean up like the public image, or is he more like a police force to kind of put him in line?
He is more like the person who organizes the cleanup.
Oh, okay. I got you. So he's just trying to make sure they look good to the public eye.
No, because in the third issue, they have a guy who makes an
actual physical cleanup, like janitorial work.
Yeah, he tells this guy to do that and this guy to do that and how to take it away.
It sounds like it would be boring, yet at the same time sounds interesting because it's something that seems obvious, like these buildings get fixed, all this damage gets cleaned up, and it doesn't usually explain how it happens.
It's actually really good. I wanted to say my favorite series I read this week was this series.
Alright. Mike, what was your favorite thing you read this week?
Favorite thing I read this week was probably the Jennifer Blood trade paperback that came out this week. It's actually the first 6 issues. It's Garth Ennis's newest work, and it's all about this Italian mob princess whose father was the leader of this Italian mob crime family. But once the dad dies, her 5 uncles just kind of screw her over. And they leave her for dead, and they actually think she's dead. And the comic book picks up well after that. They just kind of explain that kind of in flashback scenes. But she goes methodically on this revenge spree of just creatively killing each one of these uncles throughout the issues. At the same time, she's like this suburban housewife to this like really kind of geeky like accountant who's a bird watcher with 2 kids. So like you get to see her just kind of juggle both those aspects of her life, trying to keep them separate.
So it has no relation to the movie?
No. I think the movie was Jennifer's Body, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the movie.
Okay, I feel stupid.
Yeah, this is Jennifer Blood. And I mean, it's a Garth Ennis work, so obviously it's very adult themed and very, you know, kind of bloody. But it's got a really good story to it. I mean, it's really well written. And the art in it's pretty good too. The artist was Adriano Batista, I think. Yeah, Batista. It's the art matches the story pretty well. Like they definitely work hand in hand to convey the story.
Sounds pretty interesting.
It's really good. I mean, anybody that's a fan of like kind of a plot with a lot of twists and turns. Would definitely enjoy the series, especially if you enjoyed Garth Ennis' earlier work like Preacher or Crossed or The Boys. I mean, definitely get this.
Alright, now I'll move on to my favorite comic of the week, which was Red Lantern. Yeah, Red Lantern's number 6. If you've been following it, then you know that there's finally a human Red Lantern. As far as I know, he's the first one. It's very interesting to see how he like reacts to this realization that he is a Red Lantern, because he doesn't quite know that he is, and he's trying to figure it out. And that's interesting because he can't speak. Because, like, just in general, the Red Lanterns don't really have the capacity to speak because of their intelligence, but yet it shows his, like, thought bubbles that are still completely rational, and he's thinking his way through every action that he's doing. And, while this is going on, you also get a little bit deeper into the brewing civil war that's about to happen with the Red Lanterns between Atrocitus and Bleeze. And I'm very curious to see how this new human lantern is supposed to play into all this. Because I'm going to assume that since there hasn't been a human Red Lantern before, and I feel that the Red Lanterns definitely, or humans in general, tend to be very emotional, and that's what all the lantern rings are driven. I think he's going to end up being a very powerful ally for either Atrocitus or Bleeze, so it's definitely something I'm looking forward to.
Something that I'd just like to point out, not trying to correct you or anything, but technically Guy Gardner has taken the Red Lantern ring a couple of times over the years. He kind of bounces back and forth because, as some of the back issues show, pretty much any woman that Guy Gardner has ever fell in love with has died at some point. And he always has to deal with that. So he's actually slipped onto the Red Lantern ring a couple of times.
Yeah, see, like, I'm not sure of that. I started DC at this relaunch.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you would have had to read. I think it was, like, mid to late 90s, and then, again, in the Blackest Night series that they talked about.
Yeah, so that'd actually be something I'd probably want to check out to see how that turned out, but
Another kind of cool fact about that, Dexstar, the cat.
Yeah.
He's actually from Sector 2814, which is, if you ever get a chance to read up on his backstory, he's actually just a house cat whose owner was killed. And he tries to protect his owner, and the robbers, like, throw him off a bridge. And he's so angry, he attracts a Red Lantern ring, and that's how he becomes Dexstar. And in that series, on his collar, it says Dexter is his name, but the Lantern ring pronounces it Dexstar.
That's cool. I think I did check up on his backstory after the first issue.
Yeah, that's
I seen, like, it was a cat, and I'm like, that's kind of weird. How's a cat have a lantern ring?
Yeah, I mean, he's a pretty cool character. Like, his little backstory is actually kind of interesting to read through if you ever get a chance to find it.
We now have Steven Sparks with us. And,
Hi, Lee.
Steve, have you read anything good this week?
Oh, dude, I went nuts this week. I bought all of Animal Man's up to issue 5, so that's 1 through 5. I picked up Red Lantern 6. I picked up the prequel of Alice in Wonderland, New Guardians, Detective Comics number 4, and Walking Dead 93.
Right, have you read any of it, though?
Yeah, I read it. I know. Yeah. So, yeah. I just got done reading Alice in Wonderland on Tom Crapper about 3 hours ago. So. they were all good. I didn't have any quarrels with any of them, so I didn't rip one or banish one. They were all good. I'm hooked on Animal Man, though. This was a sweet comic. I do not know why I did not pick it up the first week it came out. It's morbid, it's violent, and it's only getting better. So.
That's definitely selling me on it. Like,
it's a trip.
I have to say that I think Little Wing is probably my favorite new superhero of the past couple years.
You know? Oh my God! You know, Jason, do you know like? Do you have a clue where her powers are going, or no?
Where they're going?
Yeah, where do you think they're going?
Well, I think that we're going to have... She's going to be the keeper or the protector of the red, the fleshly energy, and she's going to have to defend... all life from the supervillain who's also a kid in Swamp Thing, who's the kind of like the avatar of the rot, which is like the anti-life.
Oh, really? See, I did not know that. You know, I know in, what was it, issue 5 or 4, the previous avatars mentioned that he'll have to find Alec Holland if it gets worse.
Yeah.
So is Animal Man Little Wing's story, I take it, and then in Swamp Thing, they're doing the antagonist?
Yeah, that's very much how it's structured. And the guy in Swamp Thing, this little kid, Matt, is from a long line of people with a connection to what they call the rot. And
yeah.
he can control dead matter. So, like your bones or your hair or whatever's like part of your lung that has died, if you're a smoker or whatever, he can control that.
Okay, and now what was Little Wing's ability when she brought the skeletons back at the end of issue 1?
It's as if she can bring dead matter to life, but it's not made clear.
Oh, okay, alright.
So kind of like the opposite kind of thing?
Alright. Yeah, but as I said, Animal Man is an awesome pickup. It's, you know, I thought it was going to get thrown out with the rest of those 6 that got thrown out of DC, but very strong comic, very strong.
All right. Nico, did you have a bad issue that you read this week? All right. Never mind, we'll skip that. All right, did you have a bad issue that you read this week?
Actually, I did. That would be Batwing number 6. The series itself has been going downhill since issue probably 2. And just this month, like, I guess I've just had enough of... It reminds me of like the old Scooby-Doo cartoons where you would watch them run away from the villain and the hallway never changed. That's the way Batwing is drawn. Like, the background is the same no matter where they are. And it's in this weird red, like, tent, no matter what. Like, there's no day or night. There's no, like... And there seems to be, like, no time difference, because at one point, the villain, Massacre, is getting ready to kill somebody, and Batwing is 6 hours away, but by the time he gets there, Massacre still hasn't killed the person. It's like he instantly teleported, but they clearly state that it was 6 hours and that he used a special suit. And I don't understand, like why it would take him 6 hours to kill somebody when he's already killed, like, hundreds of people in the series.
Yeah, it sounds kind of strange.
It's the art in it is just weird. I can't.
Yeah. All right.
He's having a slow day. It's probably a Friday in at the office, like at the serial killer office. He's taking it easy a little bit.
Well, that's the weird thing. Like, they show him with like his knife to the guy's back, like in front of a pyramid, and then they show Batwing appear in like this really cool looking like flight suit, which is probably the best part of the entire show, or this show, the entire series, is that flight suit. It's really cool looking. And, like, it literally says it took him 6 hours. He explains it in a thought bubble. And then Massacre is still standing there with his knife to this guy's back.
Well, maybe he started 6 hours ago, and at this point, the Massacre is pointing the knife to the guy's back, and then so it will be kind of like a jump into the future. Could it be that?
Maybe, and I hope I read it wrong, and that's what it was supposed to be, because I would hate for a comic book to make an error like that, just so blatantly, just doesn't make sense. I'm really hoping I just misunderstood it when I read it, and that was the intent, because. The first issue was awesome. Like, I'm really disappointed by it, because I was really pumped and hooked at the first issue. And then now it's just to the point where I'm done.
All right, so I will go on to my worst issue. And that would be Action Comics number 6. And this issue, it's picking up from the last issue, but it seems just like... abruptly start. It doesn't explain what's going on, and it's really weird, because it's not only time travel, but also, you know, going back into memories, and it kind of gets confusing, where it's present day, but Superman's from 5 years in the past, no, 5 years in the future. And the Legion's there, and other people are there, and I have no clue what's going on. And the whole thing is just makes no sense. People just show up out of nowhere. And they're like, oh, you should know what's going on. You should know who this person is. And I think that defeats the purpose of, you know, this relaunch, if that's what the problem is with me reading it, not knowing these characters. But there's no flow to it. Things are just kind of happening, and I just didn't think it worked very well.
Was that the issue where they were kind of explaining, like, the Krypton thing? Like, they were showing scenes from Krypton again?
No. They didn't show any of that. They showed, when Superman was a little kid growing up on the farm.
Okay. I've only read to issue 4, but I've seen some preview pages. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I believe that was the last issue.
Was that last issue, number 5?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, that's the series that I'm slowly reading, but I've not got a whole lot of interest in.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, I thought it was going to be better, and I had just dropped the regular Superman title, so I was, like, hoping for this one to be good so that I'd still have a Superman title, but it might get dropped if it still isn't any better in the next couple issues.
Yeah, like I was talking about earlier, my list has has sparsed itself down to about half in less than 6 months of the original 42 of the 52 I started collecting.
Alright, so, let us go into discussion from our blog that was written by Chip Reese in the Golden Nuggets article that I believe is going to be at least a few parts to it. And in this one, it's World War II propaganda in comic books. So let's get everyone's thoughts on the article itself and what you guys think of how comic book companies portrayed their heroes during this point in time. Start with Steve.
Oh, thanks a lot. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I was actually in the process of typing. Get to me last.
See?
Like, as soon as I was about to hit enter, you just come in with, let's start with Steve.
See, as a future school teacher, you should know that the teacher always calls on the student that's not prepared.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, in that case, it's me. So, let's see. So, the article is on, what, World War II propaganda.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw the pictures. Gave me a chuckle. I feel so bad now. Oh, I'm on some hot coals right now. I have no thoughts. I'm sorry. Come back to me in 2 minutes.
All right. Mike, you want to go talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, I'll go. I think that the role that comic books played in World War II, I mean, he kind of hit it right on the head. You know, it was all about raising morale. I mean, it was a war that we didn't really want to be in. We were kind of forced into at the end of it. And, I mean, I'm loving these pictures he's found of, like, Captain Marvel Jr., you know, beating Adolf Hitler with a belt. I mean, it's hilarious. Like, I'm loving it. Superman turning the presses of a war bond stamps printing press.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm...
What about Captain America socking Hitler in the face?
I actually hadn't seen that one, but that's kind of funny, too. But I think they showed that one quite a few times, right? Like, that one's a pretty popular one, Captain America punching Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, that's the first issue of Captain America.
Yep.
I mean, I think it played a really big part. I think it helped. I would think so. I think it's kind of sad that as a society today, that if we were to print a comic book where, I don't know, let's say Wolverine was punching Saddam Hussein or somebody, you know, that it would be received with a negative image. I mean, that would be a huge, like, call to arms against comic books to try to do something like that now, I think.
But here's a little something also. With the new Savage Dragon comic, it's Savage Dragon going after Osama bin Laden.
See, that's awesome. I mean, why not?
But then what's the difference between Saddam and Osama?
I'm not agreeing with it. I think that certain elements in the United States would have a field day with that.
You're not agreeing with it, but you said, well, that's awesome.
No, I'm agreeing that the comic book should show that. I mean, if that's a bad guy and as a society we recognize that as a bad guy, why can't we draw a comic book, you know, attacking him?
But that's why we have speech also.
What's that?
That's why we also have freedom of speech also.
I agree, but I mean, just in the media, I think that if we were to do a, you know, if there was going to be a big political comic book stand, that it wouldn't be accepted very well. I don't think it would.
Well, I think we still do that in our society, but it's not done in such a goofy and overt manner. It's, you see, like, if you look at, I don't know, the movie Iron Man, the first Iron Man, the of all the Middle Eastern characters in there, the one that's a good guy, the gentleman who's in the caves with Tony Stark that helps him build the suit there, well, he's the one guy that doesn't look as white, that looks more white than all the other Middle Eastern guys. So, like, war propaganda, against the terrorism and certain religious groups, that sort of thing still exists, but it's in a much more subtle and sophisticated way, I think.
Yeah, like, you still look at Captain America within the last 2 to 3 years. You know, he's faced the Red Skull still, who is still pretty much a Nazi in a way. And then, you know, it just went into his daughter's sin.
AIM or Hydra that is the Nazi, that are Nazis, but Marvel doesn't put it out there?
That's Hydra.
Yeah, I want to say Hydra, too.
But then you get into the issue, like, should this, like, because in Germany, all Nazi paraphernalia is illegal to, you can't put that in movies and stuff, because they want to kill every memory of that, everything like that. So then you get into the political argument. Should we remember that, or should we fight it so that not even the memory of it exists?
I think the danger of allowing them to erase the memory of it, though, is that it could happen again if nobody remembers, you know why it shouldn't happen again.
But it has happened again, even though we, like, it's true. Happened again.
I mean, that's true. So I don't know. I mean. I mean, erase the memories or don't erase the memories, it seems like, you know, it's not the memories that's causing the problem.
Yeah, so you're probably, I'm probably inclined to agree with you that you should let writers write their opinions and let people decide whether they agree or not. And if that means in a fictional universe that Captain America is battling Nazis, then so be it. But I mean, they're seeing it from a business perspective, too. Like, they want to sell comic books, and controversy sells, but not too much of it.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from on that. And I actually had never noticed that in Iron Man 1, that the more white guy was the only, you know, was the good guy was the whitest of them. I'd never noticed that until you brought it up.
And the bad guys, I mean, used to be Nazis, and now they're Middle Eastern, right? Because terrorists, a lot of terrorists have come out of the Middle East. So, I mean, it just, when you're in the social and cultural context of where, of when the propaganda is occurring, you see it from a different point of view. I don't think that people during the war effort were thinking that Superman promoting the Slap a Jap campaign was a bad thing. They probably thought it was just funny, but we look at it now and think, wow, that's a really bad generalization. It's probably very racist, you know. When propaganda occurs now, like, for example, the movie Battlefield, was it Battlefield LA or Battle LA or whatever? The one with Aaron Eckhart. That's just basically it's an ad for join the American military. So whether you agree that's a good thing or not, it's a form of propaganda. So like. When you're in it, you don't see it the same way as you would, like, several decades later.
Like Jersey Shore, come on.
Cool. Yeah.
Man.
Oh, don't even start on Jersey Shore. I mean, God.
Don't make me throw up.
Propaganda is everywhere now. propaganda is coming into our lives and influencing every single person in some way, shape, or form.
How is Jersey Shore propaganda? It's just...
Look. Oh, man, I don't want to go off onto a tangent. because it's not comic book related, but it is something else. So.
We'll talk about it later.
That's fine.
Never bring that up.
I want to hear his idea on this.
I can bring up so many things. I had to do a 16-page paper that I chose media influence on the child's mind last year. And oh my God, I could spend hours talking about this. That's why I don't want to talk about it. So,
I watched one episode. I thought it was trash. I've hated it ever since.
That is one more episode than I've watched, sir.
You got to at least try to hate it.
So if it comes on MTV, I can guarantee you that I have never seen it, and nor never will see it.
Yeah, MTV is trash.
So, Steven,
any network that has a show called
Back 16... on topic. Back on topic.
All right. You're right.
Later. Steven.
About the media affecting the children's minds.
Yes.
Would you say that comic books? Because we saw it wasn't Fox News, but a Fox affiliate that did a report Catwoman, corrupting people's minds, or not to that extent, but it was more like, these comic books can make kids more aggressive. Like, according to your research, would you say that's your opinion, or is it anything goes, or does it depend on the kid, or how does...
I think it does depend on the person and how they interpret the information that's coming from the comic book. So, let's say you have a kid who does not have a good life at home, okay? You know, he gets abused by his parents and everything. And then he goes ahead and reads a comic book, and, you know, he sees one of these villains, you know, snaps in their head or something, and they go off on a killing spree. You know, he might interpret this, well, this could be the right thing to do. Okay, let me gather my thoughts.
But... What about the Catwoman controversy? How could that inspire aggression?
It wasn't only the Catwoman controversy.
I know,
it was
also,
the whole relaunch in general, they were saying.
That's nothing compared to the 90s.
Well, it doesn't matter. Okay, comic books promote more good than bad, I feel. That's me personally.
So,
I think it's a pretty fair statement.
Yeah.
And so, also,
remember, comic books are fiction, and they should be taken as fiction.
Exactly. Here's another example. Have any of you guys ever read Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Well, they are getting rid of all the original artwork, which that book is known for, because the artwork is awesome in it. And it actually gives a chill to your spine. Well, they're changing all the artwork now with more friendlier artwork.
I have all those books.
But here's another funny thing, though. That book is on the list of 100 banned kids' books in schools.
We used to bring those to school all the time. I used to rent it from the library at school all the time.
Grace
in elementary
book.
School.
Are those really banned?
Yeah, they are banned. They're part. It's like Harry Potter. Harry Potter's banned from elementary schools.
So is Catcher in the Rye.
So is Catcher in the Rye. Yeah, exactly. So is the Basketball Diaries.
Wait, that's banned in schools?
Yeah, that should not be in elementary schools. I got a list last
that
term.
That blows my mind.
I had children's literature last term. So, I got the list somewhere from
Steven,
2010.
Also, Stephen King's book Rage, I'm not sure about now, but after it came out, it was banned in all schools.
Well, anybody that's read Rage would probably not want an elementary or middle school kid to get a hold of that book.
But
I mean,
this is the thing. I am so proud to say I own that book because sixth grade, I was obsessed with Stephen King. And I went to the library. They had that book. I checked it out. I told the librarian, I lost it and I paid the $8 for it. Oh, whatnot. And I own that book now. And they do not print that book anymore.
They actually do print that book. It's printed in a collection called the Backman Books, which is the pseudonym that Stephen King
had.
Yeah,
I know. They don't
print that. Wrote The Long Walk and all that.
No, that's where it came in. And I looked it up. They omit that. They omit that story from the book. Yeah, they omit it.
Really?
Okay. Well, here's my question that I don't personally understand. Well, what effect does a book, a comic, have on a kid? What does it do? I don't know what it does.
See, this is where you're getting into the psychology aspect of it. You know, what I didn't like about that article was that they focused on the bad things when the good things that have came out of it. Recently, last year, there was an article about a Chicago teacher who is an avid comic book reader, started an after-school program of comic book reading, just comic books. I think it was fourth or fifth grade he did this in. His students were reading faster. Their grades improved in reading and comprehension in one school year. And there's nothing said about that. Because when I get my classroom, I'm going to have comic books in there because, you know, they're visually stimulating. They're going to teach the kids about their imagination and what they can do. And it's going to promote better reading skills.
Yeah, when I started reading comic books last year, last January, it took me like 30 to 45 minutes to read one issue. Now I can read an issue in like 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, it shouldn't take me more than 6 minutes to read a comic, honestly.
And comprehend it,
too. Well, that's another subject that I have a lot to say about. I think we're reading our comics too quickly, but that's
Not a matter.
But then
it takes me about 15 minutes or so.
Then if you look at us as a society, though, everybody, we're all doing things faster now. Multitasking is huge.
So, no, I'm not even talking about comic books. I'm saying all books in general, I can actually read faster and still comprehend it.
Yeah, and there are people like that. Yeah, don't get me wrong. So, but yeah.
Interesting. A point I'd like to bring up: comic books were actually banned in my high school because they were considered not a form of literature. So anybody with a comic book out would have it confiscated the entire 4 years I went to high school.
And did anybody try to fight this? Parents, students?
Students did. We had a big petition going, but we could never convince a parent to help. And without an adult, you know, kind of backing us, I don't think we were ever really taken seriously, and it was never removed. While I was there, I don't know if it's still in place or not because it was, you know, 8-9 years ago. But while I was there, you were not allowed to have a comic book during school hours out.
See, I'm still not understanding. Sorry, I'm still not understanding what effect, negative effect, people think this will have on children. I still don't know.
I don't know either.
I wish we had someone that was like a psychology major or something like that, because that's the field we're going into. And it's like, I guess you could take Walking Dead as an example. Would I want my 9-year-old... between 9 and 13-year-old kid reading Walking Dead? Oh, hell no, I would not.
Can I cut in right now? What's the difference of that and Call of Duty Zombies? What's the difference?
I don't like Call of Duty Zombies.
Well, that's a video game.
I still don't know what it does. Like, what if I tell you this? What if a kid needs to play with ideas of, say his father went to war, right?
Okay.
And he needs to understand, start to play with these difficult to comprehend ideas about people go to war and why did they do this and people kill each other. There are rough things to understand in the world, and he needs to do that in a fictional setting in order to to sort of graduate to the real thing, to actually thinking about these deep, difficult subjects. I'm wondering, is there possibly an actual advantage to having a kid like view violent subject matter in a fictional setting?
Well, the way I see it is that I think that there is, but at the same time, I think there's so many ways of that happening right now, where on TV, comics, regular books, and people believe that this is, like, it's bad to, like, subject kids to viewing this violent stuff, but it's in only one form that, like, we're talking about with comics, and there's so many other forms, and it's really, it has to do with the kid themselves and how they process it. Like Steve was saying, some kids may see it as, oh, this is violent, but it's fake. I can tell the difference. Like, I can't go out and just start punching people in the face or whatever happens.
Yeah, I'm not a cartoon.
Not a cartoon. Like, you want to go really old, or not really that old, but, like, growing up with Looney Tunes and stuff like that, Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. Like, you're, like, trying to kill this Roadrunner. All this stuff's happening. It's a cartoon. Or Tom and Jerry. Like, those were violent shows. Yet nobody ever says anything about those. They go, oh, those were good shows.
Some episodes are actually banned because of violence and racism.
So it sounds to me like it's much more a parenting issue than it is a media control one.
I was about to bring that up just now about parents. We have not mentioned parents yet.
Yeah, that's
absolutely right, though, Jason.
Definitely one of the things.
Parenting is, my personal opinion on parenting now, I think it's horrible. Parents are not being parents anymore.
Yeah, I'd probably agree there. Either just not paying attention to their kids, or trying to be their kids' friends, or trying to get everyone else to do the parenting for them. They don't want to take responsibility and sit their kid down and go, no, you can't play this M-rated game because it's rated M. You know, or you can't read this comic book because it's for mature readers. And instead of just going, oh, well, if the store lets them buy it, I'm going to blame the store. And it's just stupid. I mean,
the ratings are there on the comic books. I'm looking at Animal Man number 3 right now, and there is a rated T+.
It's not that hard. I mean,
it's not that hard to buy anything. I bought an R-rated movie when I was like 11.
I started watching Nightmare on Elm Street when I was 3 years old. And
So here's a question. You feel it was appropriate for you to watch that?
I don't think I should be watching it, though.
Oh, okay, I see. So, Nico, you're 13, are you?
14.
14? How do your parents feel about you reading comic books? I'm assuming you read comic books that are rated at teen T+ and up, which is 16+ and up.
They don't really care. My mom still drives me to the store, so.
So, do you discuss? Have you discussed this with them, or is just a non-issue for them?
Not an issue. I just read. I'm not that psychotic.
So, does your Do your parents know that these comics are rated T plus and up?
Yeah, but they don't really do anything.
Okay. And so you for you it's not up for discussion. For your family, it's not a problem.
Yeah, I'm mature enough to know what's right and what's wrong, so.
I know that your mother has checked out some of the books that you read.
Yeah.
And what kinds of comments does she make?
Nothing. I show her stuff that's stupid and stuff.
Nico, tell your mom we said hi.
Okay.
Yeah, but again, the parenting thing is, it's been getting to be more of a big deal recently. Not so much with comics. I've noticed it a lot with video games, where
she's right here.
People have been, you know, coming out and saying, "Oh, you can't buy your kid can't go in the store and buy these games," but a lot of stores will sell them, and they're trying to push, you know, the store is liable if the kid gets it. And I could see that happening with comics. I hope it doesn't, because I don't think that they should be doing that in the first place. I think it's the parents' responsibility to decide, my kid's mature enough to get this book.
Yeah.
So the store should still have guidelines and be like, hey, this is, you know, rated T plus, or this is rated, like, this is a max series, so it's only for mature readers. But
we can actually ask.
I don't think they should do anything about it.
Yeah, can we talk to your mother?
I'm here.
What's your name?
My name's Debbie.
Debbie, okay. So so obviously, you know, Nico reads comic books, and you know that some of these comic books portray violence.
Right.
Some of it's cartoony, some of it is more realistic than others. I think you've seen the Fox News affiliate report on the DC comics, and some psychologists feeling that it may or may not be appropriate for younger kids. What is your general take on this?
My thing is, if parents are watching over it, what their kids are into, if they're that young, they should be. You understand what I'm saying? If they're so young, they need to see what they're buying.
So for you, there's a certain age limit?
No. I think it's up to the parents to consider whether it's age appropriate for the child.
So depending on each child.
Yeah, that's what
In what cases do you feel that comic books depicting violence and sexual conduct would be inappropriate? Like, what would cause you to make a decision against it?
Well, okay. I think that, you know, I've known a lot of different mothers, and some of them are very, protective is a good word for what their children see on TV or read in books. And, you know, it's a personal thing how each mother raises their children. I mean,
yeah.
But to me, I think literature is good, and my child had family members that let him read and see things before his age that I probably would have. But I think comic books, it's literature, and it has changed over the years. Don't get me wrong. It's definitely changed. But I think reading is good, and you don't understand, you don't know what one child comprehends and takes. You understand what I'm saying? One child can see it differently than another.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, obviously, like, we know Nico, we've hung out with him, and we know he can...
He holds his own.
He's a smart kid, and, like, he's not getting into any trouble because he's reading comic books.
Right, exactly.
I guess what we're wondering is, would there be some instances that it would be a bad thing for a child to read a comic book, which would and lead him to bad behavior? Like, personally, I have my doubts on that.
You know, there's kids that are horrible in this world, and
like I told him, I'm not that psychotic.
Exactly. I mean, what makes a child go psychotic? I don't know.
The joke of getting his face cut off. Did that make somebody go psychotic? Possibly. You know what? That could.
Yeah. Picture somebody drawing a face. Did that make somebody psychotic? There's strange people.
I mean.
Well, it's not going to do it instantly, though.
Over time, yeah.
It's an overtime thing.
Is he gonna get me in the middle of the night sometime or something?
I have a question. What would you have to see in a comic book that Nico's reading make him stop reading comics in general? What would it take you to ban books from Nico in a comic if you caught him? Well, there's nudity and things of that nature.
Well,
how far would the comic have to go?
You what? How far do you have to go?
Yeah.
It would have to be pretty far, I guess, because from my view, because of his age, I mean.
Yeah.
But if he was younger, I did stop him, you know, at a younger age from what he read and what he saw on TV and stuff like that.
I read Rage in sixth grade, by the way.
But that was you.
No, just speaking from my perspective, I am a huge Garth Ennis fan, and if any of you have ever read any of Garth Ennis's like earlier works, there are definitely some works that he's done that I definitely wouldn't want a child of mine to get a hold of. The book that comes to mind, I don't know if any of you have read it, it's called The Pro.
No.
Have any of you read The Pro?
Nope.
No.
I'll check it out.
You can't. The Pro is literally a comic book based on a prostitute that gets superpowers.
Oh, wow.
Sounds cool.
It is very, very graphic. That's the one that comes to mind. That, I mean, I have, like I said, I have an 8-year-old and an 18-month-old, and I keep my comic books in two different places, like the one I just mentioned and some others. I keep in my bedroom on the bookshelf.
That's normal. I mean, that's normal. That would be like having a pornography books or something. You don't let your children have, you know, access to them.
Yeah,
it all depends on. Now, I've known some parents that let their kids at any age see anything, but, I mean...
That was my parents. I had no restrictions from about 9 years old on.
And would you... And so how do you feel about that, Michael?
As far as the no restrictions thing?
Yeah.
I can't say that it directly influenced my behavior. But, I mean, I was a high school dropout that went to a night school program. I started drinking when I was probably about 14. Drug experimentation fairly early. I don't know how direct of an influence comic books or media had on that, as more as just inattention of my parents. But, I mean, I was definitely seeing things in movies and, you know, reading things at a very early age that probably gave me not necessarily ideas, but desensitized me to those ideas that, you know, as I got older, it wasn't a big deal because I'd already read that or I'd already seen that.
Well, and then that starts distorting your perception of things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that can happen. I mean,
you know, you look at serial killers, for instance. You know, a lot of them start off by killing animals and things of that nature, which then it escalates to humans. You know, it's just small little steps along the way. That's all it is.
Yeah, but
go ahead.
But when somebody kills an animal or something, you say that sick son of a bitch. You know, you don't just. Yeah, it ain't like. Curse. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
I hate to put this up, but I mean, I hunt every year. I mean, me and my stepdad go hunting every year.
Yeah, but I'm talking about for the pleasure of killing like a cat or something like that.
Yeah, I guess I can see the difference there. I don't know.
I mean, hunting to eat, that's a whole different.
What did Ted Newton say? Can't grow them, so you kill them.
See, this is when we need to get like a psychology major on the show.
Yeah, I went to college for computer programming. This is way out of my area.
Well, there's one thing we do know about. It's comic books.
Yeah, very true.
You know, a lot of it's on the parents. I think parents need to start regulating what their kids are doing now. But a lot of them don't do that. For instance, my sister's 3-year-old and my 9-year-old nephew in front of the TV when she has to do something. And they'll sit there. My nephew, 9 years old, he can't really read at all, but he's really good at math somehow. You know, a lot of it's on the parents.
Yeah, well, I think we've started going in circles with this topic.
It is. We need a psychologist. That's what we need. We need a child psychologist.
So anyone out there listening to this podcast, you can email us at podcast@stashmycomics.com or find us on Twitter, stashmycomics, twitter.com/stashmycomics. Or come to our forums and let us know that you are a psychologist, and we will have you on the podcast to discuss this subject. And you can talk, we can actually talk to someone who actually knows something about this.
I will start a thread in the forums under Psychologist Wanted.
Yeah, put it on Craigslist.
It's even better.
How do you spell psychologist?
Psychologist. It's phonetically spelled.
Okay, psycho.
Logic.
Are we doing
psycho? Chance.
Yes.
Chance? Are you able to do trivia?
Yeah, I can do the trivia. Is everyone here going to participate?
Sure.
Sure,
let's do it. I still got another half hour on my download, so.
Oh, you still have a half an hour. That's going to take. Alright. Well, we'll go in order of how I have you guys right here. So we'll start off with Nico. Alright, this is a review by... Okay, R. Scandalaria. That's how I'm going to pronounce it. Alright, so here is the review, Nico. According to Dictionary.com, a parasite is an organism that lives on or in an organism of another species known as the host from the body of which it obtains a nutrient. Has this, what our favorite blank, been degraded down to becoming? How much will blank give up from his morals and ethics for the quick buck? Introduction of two new original characters. Enter Screwball and Paper Doll.
All right.
And there are three names. How many do you guess?
Four.
There's only three.
I keep four.
Same thing as last time.
So what do you bid, Nico?
Nico?
What? I said three.
Can't hear you very well.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Three.
So, Mike, the way this works is you can either challenge Nico to guess the comic, or you can bid a lower number. And if you bid a lower number, I will give you the remaining...
Two.
I'll give you the remaining name.
I've never even heard of either of those characters, so I'm going to say Nico, go ahead and tell me the comic.
Venom number one.
You're already here. Yes?
Yeah.
What did you get?
Venom number one.
You didn't even take his name.
No.
give it to me. I want this question. I know it.
Well, Mike got the point, but what is...
It's something out of... So we have Paper Doll and we have Screwball. Two characters from Amazing Spider-Man. They're coming from Brand New Day. I'm going to guess, like, issue, like, between, like... What is it, like... 535 and like 545 or something like that in there.
You had the correct title, and it was close, but it was Amazing Spider-Man number 559.
Well, that's why I've never heard of it. I've never read a single Spider-Man issue.
Oh, all right. Once you said Paper Doll and Screwball, like I'm like, all right, I know this area.
Yeah, that's where I wandered away. I was like, I don't know who either of those are. I'm done.
I heard about Parasite, so I was thinking Venom. So, yeah.
Paper Doll is a really cool villain, and I wish he would show more of her.
Can't use that one.
Right. I have those too, so you can even look in my stash to make sure I have them. So, I'm...
All right, so... This one will go to Jason.
Okay.
And the reviewer was Voldemar, or Tim.
Okay.
Not very good. It has a lot of holes in the plot.
I know it.
And after the events of last issue, it feels like they almost didn't take place. Not the best issue in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this has three names.
Okay. I will bid, not the best issue, holes in the plot. Basically it?
Yep.
Wow.
I'll bid three names.
All right. Steve?
Oh, man. Go ahead and name it, man.
Oh.
All right.
This is... Wow. The last one had a name in it, so it gave me some knowledge, but go
this
ahead.
It's a little harder. All right.
Okay, so let's hear the review again.
The review is not very good. It has a lot of holes in the plot, and after the events of last issue, it feels like they almost didn't take place. Not the best issue in the series.
Okay.
So your three names are cover penciler Bill Sienkiewicz.
Okay.
Interior penciler Bill Sienkiewicz. And writer Doug Monick.
Doug Mensch. The title is Moon Knight.
Yes.
The issue is...
You can be up to one off either.
Yeah, I'm going to go with...
Earlier or later.
How far in is he to that series? I'm going to go with issue 16.
Ooh, close. It was issue 11.
Ah.
So now Steve has a point.
Good job, Steve.
Oh, thanks. Man, looking at the Moon Knight series, there were a lot of variants of this series. Holy smokes.
All right, we are back to Nico again.
I got to go for a couple minutes.
We have to... Come on, we're in the middle of trivia here.
I forfeit.
You forfeit?
What? You can't forfeit, you friggin' pansy.
Man.
Alright, go with Mike then.
A quitter. No, quitters never win, Nico.
I don't want to win. I don't want to throw up.
Alright, give it to Mike.
Alright. Get this review right here. This review is by Neural. I never know how to pronounce his name. He's on the forums very often.
Neural? It's Neural, I think.
Neural. Okay.
Hello, Neural. All
right, this one actually has a bit of spoilers, so I'm going to make it tougher for you. Blank acquires all of Blank's powers.
Oh, you suck.
24 hours as a birthday present. Top WTF moment. The descendants of dinosaurs who escaped extinction by burrowing to the center of the earth. I can't wrap my head around it. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 names.
Wow. I have no ideas. I'm just going to go 7.
All right. Jason?
I will bid 3 names.
3, all right. Steve?
Go ahead and name that to comic.
All right.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious what comic this is.
Give me my name.
Sounds like something I would read.
Do you want to hear the review one more time?
Sure, for the listeners, but I'm going to get this.
All right. Blank acquires all of Blank's powers for 24 hours as a birthday present. Top WTF moment. The descendants of dinosaurs who escaped extinction by burrowing to the center of the earth. I can't wrap my head around it. Your names are Editor Bob Schreck, Cover Penciler Frank Quintley, and Colorist Jamie Grant.
The book is All-Star Superman.
Yes.
The issue is issue 2.
Close. So you still got it. It was issue number 3.
Ah.
But I still get the point.
Yes.
So he goes, Michael has a point and I have a point.
And Steve has a point.
And we go to 2 points. So this is a tiebreaker.
Yes, it is. Next point is going to win. Oh, man. That means I got to make it a very good question.
Go with something on a character or something. Like Marvel for 300.
Hey.
Oh, I quit.
Still putting pressure on the host.
All right, DC for 500.
Oh, I should just do one I reviewed, shouldn't I? I actually have to find one, though.
Please, don't let it be Ultimate Spider-Man.
I'm going with a Green Lantern question.
Series I want to go into.
No, I got an idea. Let's go with an.
Let's go with a good review.
We could go with a Lantern question. I'd be down with that. Let's go with a New Guardians question.
Oh,
I'm gonna pick a specific thing that you're telling me to pick. Just clearly.
Just do it. There, right? Oh, I wanted to discuss something tonight too. Jeez. And New Guardians, but never mind.
Next week.
You're too late, yeah. Next week.
Next time.
Fine. Next week then.
So pouty tonight, Steven.
I know. I've been in a moody mood. Like, I've had headaches for 2 days, and I want to get that interview, too. I'm working on my email to him right now.
So,
Well, hurry up and get that email done.
I'm working on it. I just wanted to make it sound good, so.
So, I'm going to go with a review by Chip. Here is the review. This was confusing to start, typical Morrison style, but still a good read. The art was great and consistent throughout. Blank's motives here are pretty weak, but trying the best Blank at a life and death game is within reason.
So we know it's written by Grant Morrison. Or at least a writer whose last name is Morrison.
Yep, it could be other people. And there are only three names.
Okay.
So how many do you bid, Mike?
We'll go with three.
Oh.
Jason?
I'll go with one name.
All right, Steve.
I know the issue. I just don't know what number. So go ahead, Justin.
Okay. Here we go.
All right.
Give me your name.
One name is cover penciler Jay Lee.
Yeah, okay. This is... it's a... This is not my guess. I'm just talking through it. It's a Fantastic Four book. Can I phone a friend? I'm not sure if it's actually the Fantastic Four title. Chip talked about this on the podcast. He wrote four issues of that. Is it a miniseries? Okay, I'll just guess Fantastic Four. Can you tell me at least if that's right?
If it's close.
the fourth dimension. I don't know. I think you find Steven. Fantastic Four. Something something. All in the Family.
Is that your final answer?
You got it. You got it, Steven. I don't know it. I don't know the full.
Mine is as good as yours. It's Fantastic Four or something.
It is Fantastic Four, 1, 2, 3, 4. Issue number 4.
Good one. Oh, well.
So
I gave it my best.
Steve won this one.
Yep, Steve did. It's all a game of positioning.
It is. It definitely helps when you have someone just going quit out on you. Just gives up. Very disappointing. But
I just looked up as that paper doll. That's a really neat looking villain.
She's interesting. Well, I don't think they did anything else with her after Brand New Day.
Really? She's kinda cool. Like I'm just sitting here reading her powers and stuff.
She's just a depressed emo girl, that's all she is.
Never know, there's always a rotating cast of characters in the universe, so anyone can come back at any time.
Come on, they have to give Spider-Man some new villains, because you can only put the Rhino in so many comics.
Oh, but the Rhino's awesome. I like Rhino.
Stupid head.
He can make them into other characters, too. Right.
Robo Rhino. I don't know.
So that's
Kenny.
end of the trivia, so we will wrap up tonight's conversation and continue on our after show. If you want to check us so there, go to the forums and you can find out how. Make sure to join us next week for another, actually in 2 weeks, for another great show. Remember, if you'd like to join in on the conversations, check out the forums. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. Check out our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. And again, check out the forums. We have a great bunch of people there that will help you out with any of your comic book needs.